Hi, my name is Ruthenda Nyamwida, and welcome back to another extraordinary episode of In My 20s. In My 20s. So while you're here, please feel free to like, share, and subscribe to the In My 20s podcast. My conversation with today's guest is all about mindfulness, meditation, and the power of visualization. So welcoming herself onto the In My 20s podcast and into the In My 20s family, here she is.
Hi, my name is Balisa Dembe. I am 28 years old, born and bred in Durban, but I think I've got an international mind with an international flair and, of course, a flair for fashion. I'm obsessed with music, and even though I am the only girl of four boys, I believe I'm one of the boys.
Now, on every episode of the In My 20s podcast, my guests always come through with these incredible mind moments or gem moments, and this is just one of them.
So a lot of people, when they visualize the house, they visualize the chopper, they visualize the clothes, the shoes, the husband, the wedding, but they forget to see themselves in it.
Mind moment. The In My 20s podcast is split up into three sections. In the first section, we get to hear a little bit more about Palesa's career journey. In the second section, we dive into today's topic, which is all about the power of visualization. And finally, rounding up all three sections is a conversation about the all-encompassing 20s journey. So without further delay, let's get straight into it. So I know you as being a presenter on a TV show in South Africa, but there is a lot more to your career history and career journey.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about that and how you got to where you are today.
So being born and bred in Durban, I was very much exposed to theatre. Of course, the Playhouse in Durban is one of the biggest theatre companies in South Africa. And I just feel like I've always known what I wanted to do. I've always known what I wanted to be. I had no question about it. And in fact, this is a cute little anecdote that I love telling just to introduce people to who I am. I mean, I must have been 2 years old or 3 years old. Okay, maybe not two. I could talk. So maybe I was a little older, maybe 3, 4. And I used to live in Pretoria with the family, and we went to a restaurant, just for lunch or whatever, super cash. And I was at the table with my parents and my brothers. And apparently, now I don't remember this because obviously I was too young, but this is how the story goes as narrated by my parents, and they're a little spicy. So hey, apparently at the table, I spoke and talked. Literally the true chatterbox that I am. And there was a white couple sitting close to our table, close to the vicinity, and they had finished their meal and we're about to leave. But before they left, they came to my table and dropped like a 5 rand coin at me and was just like, thank you for entertaining us that entire meal. And, you know, apparently from then, my parents were like, I guess that was her first job.
Yeah. Oh,
booked and busy.
Booked and busy from two. You know what? This reminds me of like those E2 Hollywood stories.
Facts.
Because they always bring up those pictures and they're like, from age 2.5 or 3,
She's
always been dancing in front of the camera, and then we'll see you dance. And I'm like, everybody's kid was dancing in front of the camera. 2 and 3.
I mean, come on.
Relax.
Right? And that's so funny that you say E True Hollywood story is because myself and one of my very good friends in Johannesburg, shout out Nina, we used to always say before I got my first acting gig, before I got my first TV presenting gig, we always used to say, hi, this is all part of your E True Hollywood story.
It is.
We used to try speak it into existence because that is something I'm super passionate about. I don't even make jokes about certain things because I feel like you say something off your lips, off your tongue, into the universe, and who knows?
The power of life and death is in the tongue.
It's like, in the tongue. It's so true. And growing up, funny enough, my brother Sia, he's like the closest brother to me in age. We grew up as twins with 18 months apart. He used to get so annoyed at me dancing in front of the TV. I used to know the choreography, like the choreography. the choreography. Yeah. I knew the choreography to every single music video.
Yeah.
J-Lo, Love Don't Cost a Thing. I was there. I'm a genie in a bottle.
I'm a genie in a bottle.
I mean, I'm a slave for you.
Girl,
I can take you back.
That's one.
Dirty, Christina. I can actually literally see all of it
in my head.
I was that kid in front of the TV. My family used to be like, girl, we're not stopping you from dancing, but just not in front of the TV. And I can say that is where I got my early start.
Wow.
My early training.
My early training.
100%. And literally started dancing at the age of 3, obviously, where everyone starts being ballet.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to modern dancing, contemporary, jazz, and then I got to hip hop.
Wow.
The hip hop bug bit me. And, through high school, I was like a hip hop dancer. I was a drum.
Girl,
people don't know. I was a drum majorette. That's how it all started before. Really? Girl, I'm a dancer.
Hey, I'm Palessa and welcome to Afternoon Express.
Nah, you see, y'all got used to twerking, Pally.
Y'all messed up and got used to twerking.
I want
to see the one and two, three, and four, five, six, seven, and eight.
And the hours, the weight drops in Project Honey.
Hey!
I was like, one day is one day. Yeah, so that is my first introduction to the stage.
Love it.
Was through dancing.
And
that's how I became a performer and an entertainer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I expressed myself at first. And then obviously I decided to major in drama and psychology, drama with an acting elective. And then as soon as I graduated, I was like, right, it's time to make that money, boo. Chased the stars and the fame and the light and the that is the city of gold. Fell flat on my face. You know,
I love the build up, and then you're like, and then I fell flat on my face.
Girl, we have to keep it 100. Like that is
You've
all
gotta be real,
in
yeah.
my 20s is about. I have to tell you what the real
yes.
not what Instagram shows, not what Facebook or Twitter shows, which are just the highlights of your life.
Yeah. So you thought like this is the career, this is what it's going to be like, because obviously based on the TV, I'm the same history in like media and entertainment. And then when you start, it's like, oh, skirt.
Guess it's not that easy. And everyone, and you know, you hear the stories all the time that it took 100 no's for me to get my first yes. But we also all believe that we are the wonder child.
No, we're the one.
We're the one y'all
been waiting for.
I'm the difference. Y'all have been waiting for this, you know? No. The world is not that kind.
Yeah.
Yes, it is very fortunate for some, and they are the exception to the rule. They're not the rule.
So visualization, meditation, it's all of these aspects of being quiet with yourself, connecting to a deeper power, deeper source, deeper being, connecting with yourself, and having that moment of, I think one of the things we struggle with as millennials or as people in general is this, who am I? What is my purpose? Where am I going? So talk me through your visualization and meditation on why that has been such a pivotal part of your career and who you are.
So I've been very lucky and blessed that mindfulness was introduced to me at a very young age. I was 16 where I went for my first mind power course. And that's where I was introduced to those aspects. So for some listeners out there who are not quite familiar with what we're talking about, welcome to the 21st century. So I find for myself, visualization is a form of meditation.
Okay.
Meditation can come in different ways, shapes, forms. But in my knowledge, from what I understand, it is clearing your mind, clearing your soul, opening up your chakras, and just allowing light and whatever positivity you want to feel, good vibrations, good vibes, sitting on the floor, centered very close to the earth, and kind of trying to tune in to a deeper you, right? But that's really difficult because how do you clear your mind where there's a taxi down the road hooting, where you're thinking of school fees? So for me, what helped me meditate is to focus on one specific thing. And that one specific thing had to be where I see myself in the future. Future Bali. Future Bali could be tomorrow Bali. It could be next week Bali, 1 year Bali, 10 years Bali.
Okay.
In the different areas of my life, what do I see for myself? And when I see that for myself, I mustn't forget to put myself in the room. So a lot of people, when they visualize the house, they visualize the chopper, they visualize the clothes, the shoes, the husband, the wedding, but they forget to see themselves in it.
Mind moment.
So that's you can see this until you're blue in the face and be so frustrated and so concerned as to why this is not becoming tangible and coming into fruition and kind of stuck in a rut and this thing doesn't work. But it goes back to, I ask myself, Rue, please go into your bedroom. Who's in the room?
Myself.
I love that answer. A lot of people would be like, no one, no one's in the room.
Oh, I see what you mean.
You're in the room.
Oh my gosh.
You are the person. See yourself first before you see anyone else.
Yeah.
A lot of people forget to add themselves. So I then take my visualization a step further, which is what I touched on earlier. When I'm receiving my Oscar, what am I wearing? Where am I sitting? Who's sitting on the left of me? Who's sitting on the right of me? Can I see over the person's head in front of me? What kind of hair do I have? Is it cold in the auditorium? Am I boiling? Can I breathe in the dress? Is it too tight? A lot of people might be like, sheesh, Bali, already you've clocked 10 minutes in your meditation.
What I think is so powerful about what you said is you have to see yourself. If there is any mind moment, like that is it, because a lot of people, even it could be an Oscar for some, it could be getting their doctorate, it could be passing your exams,
it could be giving birth,
it could be overcoming anxiety or panic attacks or whatever people are facing
public
in their
speaking.
20s, public speaking, everything. I even know from my years of being a flautist, playing the flute, like Lizzo. Hey! I can do that too, I'm not going to lie.
Prove it. I will.
But the thing that they always, my music teacher always instilled in me was, imagine yourself on the stage. Imagine yourself playing flawlessly, no mistakes, absolutely nothing. Imagine people standing up, giving you a standing ovation. What do they say after you? What are the compliments? But the most important was, imagine yourself on the stage, right? Because when you eventually get there, it's your body is like,
familiar.
It's muscle memory. It's like, I've been here before. I think Big Sean in one of his raps, he says, if they ask me how I feel, I'm just going to tell them it was everything I expected. And that's one of the lines where I'm just like, yes, that is it. But that you have to see yourself in is so important. It's again, what are your short-term goals? What are your medium-term goals? What are your short, your long-term goals?
And you have to write them down. Pen to paper, not on your iPhone not on your Samsung notes. Not on your laptop. Take a black pole or blue point pen and a piece of paper. Get a pencil if you must. No, don't get a pencil because you can erase a pencil. Get something that is permanent and write it down.
Write the vision, make it plain. But
write those goals down.
So as you said, like it is super easy to maybe have this, you know, these visualizations. You've mentioned, you know, how you visualize, where you meditate, how you sit down, you wanting to be grounded. Where has this happened in your life? Where have your visualizations actually turned out to be your reality?
So mine is, I'm just going to give one example just to keep it short. as you saw, those old ladies gave me R5 for a reason when I was three. So for me, 110% has to be winning presenter search. Now, again, my visualization has another element to it, and I don't want this to throw anyone off, but I'm still a very spiritual and religious person. So that my religious following is Christianity. So for me, within the visualization, whilst I'm visualizing, I'm also praying over it, asking for it. But you can't keep asking for the same thing forever, right? So there needs to become a time where you believe that you've already got it. in the spiritual realm before it's even tangible and physical to the in the earthly realm.
Mm.
So I then take it a step further and was thankful or become thankful.
Mm.
And now my example, with now the 3-point plan in place,
mm-hmm.
you visualize, mm-hmm. you ask, mm-hmm. you ask, you visualize, and you thank.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, love it. Writing it down.
Write that down, mm-hmm. girl. So I asked, I said, Lord, here's a competition that I've entered, presenter search. I really believe and know that you've instilled all the talent, all the brains, with every capacity that I need to execute this role you have already placed within me.
Mm.
I also believe that if you can dream it, you can do it.
Mm.
If the mind can conceive it, you have every single principle, every single trait within you already from birth.
Mm.
It's just your job to sharpen those tools. But because I've already got it all in me, Lord, for the fact that I can even think that I could possibly win, it means that I can already win.
Mm.
So I'm asking of it from you.
Mm-hmm.
Please, no one present search, Lord. Mm-hmm. I really want to.
Was this when you had just entered?
I hadn't even entered.
I hadn't even entered. Okay.
I hadn't even entered. And also that's why I believe a dream delayed is not a dream denied. This was my second audition,
mm-hmm.
my second entry to present a search, mm-hmm. my second season that I tried out.
Sure.
So I said, Lord, this is what I want. This is mine. Please, may I have it? And then I visualized myself winning.
Mm.
I visualized myself winning. I visualized who'd be with me winning. I visualized everything,
mm-hmm.
everything. I visualized everything. Even the journey of the competition.
Yeah.
That's also why you need to be rational and can't always live in the air. So I researched every other presenter search, every other challenge that happened within the presenter search.
Yeah.
The structure, the format of the show.
Mm.
To try forecast the way my season, which was season 4, would go. Before I was even announced as top 10, I said, okay, for my top 10 reveal, what am I doing? Are they coming to my house? Am I taking them to the beach because I'm from Durban? Am I taking them on a girls' night out with the girls? What am I doing? Or am I taking them to a charity that I work closely with,
mm-hmm.
to show them the philanthropic side of me? And then, okay, so I said, perfect, I'll show them the philanthropic side of me playing with the kids, and I'll also show them me drinks with the girls.
Mm.
Oh, which restaurants would I do it at?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I do it at this place and this place in Durban.
Yeah.
I have not even entered.
You haven't even entered.
Presenter search.
Mm-mm.
Okay, do I have my parents involved in this grand reveal? No, I don't have my parents. No, let's keep them. Let's keep what's private private.
Yeah.
I'll just show my friends and this. Girl, first thing, I'm top 10.
Sure.
Things happened exactly the way I had planned previously.
Sure.
Exactly in the way I had seen it.
Mm.
Now I'm already in the competition.
Mm-hmm.
Now I have to win. Now, by the time I was already in top 10, I was really thanking the Lord. Thank you that I'm in top 10. Thank you so much, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. When I made it in top 10, I changed the alarm on my phone.
Yeah.
That wakes me up every morning. You know, you can change the name of your alarms.
Yes.
Mine was, wake up SABC3 TV presenter.
Hey!
Wake up SABC3 TV presenter. So subconsciously.
Mm. And you can't snooze that one, hey? That one you have to accept.
There.
But you can't, that you, you, cause mentally,
mentally
it's like
snoozed. What are you doing?
No.
You're stopping it.
So yes, yes.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
Stop it. I just had an aha moment.
Hit me.
So now because I'm an SABC3 TV presenter,
yes.
I've now changed my alarm.
What is it?
I can't say it now.
Oh, you can't. Okay,
I can't.
Okay.
I don't
okay,
want to jinx
you, but,
it, right?
Okay, but I'm with you. But you.
I've been snoozing and stopping it.
Mind moments. Woo! Mind moments. This is why the podcast exists.
Ba, 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 ba.
You cannot snooze the dreams that
I've
you are.
Been
you can't be sleeping
it.
On yourself, eh? It's,
and I'm wondering why no. I'm stagnant.
Nah. But you know, this is the interesting thing, especially about winter. So your dreams. Oh, I was having a conversation about seasons with a friend yesterday,
yes.
right? Okay.
Yes.
We were talking about seasons, and I said to her, look, because I've just, you know, I had inflamed tonsils. I
yes.
told you I had the flu. I had everything was happening in the dead of winter. And I said to her, but what we need to, and she's also been going through stuff. And
mm.
I said, what we need to remember is life is a season
mm.
and our lives work in seasons, right?
Mm.
So if we are going through this winter now where it
mm.
feels like everything is, you know,
snoozing.
Everything is snoozing. Everything is dying. The
mm.
trees are withered. The trees of our lives, right?
Mm.
you must remember that the breaking down, right, is preparing you for
rebirth,
but even before that, rebuilding of your foundations before you even start building, right? So if you, sometimes in life, things happen in those winter seasons where we've been broken down, where we've been pushed to the edge, where we've entered presenter search for the first time or entered competitions and we've been rejected time and time again. That's just your winter.
Yeah.
But after the winter comes spring.
Yeah.
And spring is where one by one the colors start coming back. And suddenly you're getting your breakthroughs after breakthroughs. People are calling you from nowhere.
Yeah.
People are actually calling you to say, hey, I think this would be a good thing for you. Friends of yours, connections, networks.
And that's exactly what happened. I didn't even know presenter search was happening. It was my family who were like, dude, you have to audition.
This is yours.
It belongs to no one else.
Dude. And then after that is summer. And summer is what some people, but this is the thing, is I think people live too long in summer. And people, and this is where those like anxious thoughts and things start arising, where you're just like, but I'm not in summer. To really appreciate that summer, you have to go through the autumn and the winter and the spring in whatever aspect of your life you're in. Absolutely. So it could be in love, it could be in work, it could be with family, but you have to go through
the seasons. Yourself.
Could be with yourself. It's with yourself. So amazing.
Yeah.
So back to you not snoozing on yourself.
So I'm not snoozing, girl. Mm-hmm. From now on, I'm changing my ways, honey. Long story short, I used to cry tears kneeling outside my home in Umlazi, Durban, D-section, as a 28-year-old living at home with my parents, thanking the Lord that I am this SABC 3 TV presenter, crying, saying, Lord, I am thankful. I'm so thankful. Aibo, did things not go wrong within the competition? Almost didn't make the finale. Identity issues with my ID, with my passport. Couldn't leave the country. Couldn't do this. I had given up. I said, Lord, you promised me that this was mine. I felt it. The Lord said, I said, it's yours. And people would be like, he said, trust you. How do you know? You know deep down in your heart.
Yeah.
Did I not make it? Did I not shoot my challenges back to back? Did I not win?
Yeah.
The same tears I felt crying in front of my Umlazi Township D-section home were the same tears, the same intensity I felt in that moment when I was announced as the winner.
Palesa, we've all had our 20s journeys. We've all had these, you know, high highs and low lows and some beautiful in-between moments. But if you were to summarize your 20s journey, how would you summarize it?
I would say my 20s have been experimental. They've been wild. They've been a teacher. They've been spiritual. My 20s have been... Do you say my 20s has been or have been?
My 20s has... Hey, yes, have been. Where was where?
Where to? Before what? I really don't believe in the whole thing, especially in the African culture of bazothina abantu, what will the people say? I really don't believe in it. I haven't ever believed in it. I think I was badly influenced by family, by friends, where in moments I've thought, what will people think? And I really say I was negatively influenced by them, because I should never have to worry about what people think.
Yeah.
As long as you are in alignment with your purpose, your moral code, your moral ethics, and you are completely in tune.
Have to ask, so you are still in your 20s, but have you experienced or gone through the quarter life crisis? If you have, when was it?
Define the quarter life crisis.
So quarter life crisis, yes, definition time. So it's basically like that time in your life. It doesn't have to hit at 25. Mm. So for some people, it's plus minus 25. Mine came at 22, 23 and then popped up once every year, even now. But it's kind of like that moment in your life where you start questioning things like the who am I? What am I doing? Am I doing enough? Why did I even study what I studied? It feels like you're in crisis mode. But also you're too young to be having a midlife crisis. So it is that younger version of a midlife crisis.
Yeah, it's midlife crisis light. Diet midlife crisis.
Yeah, light.
Absolutely.
Hallelujah.
I have gone through it. I still go through it. Mm. And then I need to remind myself, even when I don't believe it, that I'm a boss.
Mm.
It's, oh yes, girl, 100%.
Well, give us an example, whether or not it's something that happened specifically career-wise.
So my quarter life crisis manifested itself in a term that I've heard and I just felt like it resonated with me, which was imposter syndrome.
Mm.
I got my foot in the door. I got in the room. I'm now sitting at the table. And I'm like, what on earth am I doing in this table? What am I going to talk about? Am I even going to be entertaining? Am I good enough? And this is maybe something that people don't know about me. And it's really like been a very emotional thing. And I don't mention it because, and a lot of the time I thought that it would hinder me in especially what I do.
Yeah.
So I kept it to myself and I've run away with it. And it's been, for me, a very big challenge now. Because I sometimes struggle to perform where I need to perform. Reading. Growing up, I hated reading. Okay, I had a learning disability, and this is what people don't know. I'm dyslexic. Okay. I've always been my whole life, and coming from an African family, they didn't know what that was. Why can't you just read what this word is? It's bad. I don't understand. They got frustrated with me when I was doing homework and whatever, which made me build up an attitude towards reading. Because every time I read, people get frustrated, which makes me upset. I feel ashamed. I feel embarrassed. So I just didn't sharpen the tool of reading. Even in varsity, I will always say I'm a lazy student. I am not an academic. You know, maybe I taught myself that because I'm very intelligent. Every job I've done, I haven't even studied. I didn't even take it at all. I took drama. And I was doing finance in a corporate environment in the middle of Sandton City. Like, I just learned it. I took maths literacy. Hell, I was, you know, winging it, literally. But with that, I just was still neglecting, finding shortcuts in reading. I then became an actress and TV presenter.
Yeah.
The one thing in entertainment that requires good readers. And don't just read and read the words. Read with understanding.
Understanding, yeah.
I've struggled to sharpen that tool throughout my life. And now I'm finding myself in a point where I'm like, where's that book?
Let me read.
Let me just do it.
Let me do it. This is where you
are. Because there is a girl who just graduated. Who is fluent in reading, who is coming for my spot, who has sharpened her tools.
And how have you overcome that? Like, how did you overcome that, rather? Knowing that this was the something that felt like, as you said, you were in the room. I'm here. I've made
imposter
it. I've dreamt. I've prayed. I've thanked. I've asked. I've done all of the things. And now I'm here. And now I feel like, should I really be here?
Yeah. And for me, how I tried to overcome the imposter syndrome again, I'm still dealing with it to a certain degree, not as severely as I did, but, and essentially getting over the quarter life crisis is going back to what we've been speaking about. Visualizing, meditating, words of affirmation, affirming myself, mantras, every single day. On days that I don't want to wake up and I don't want to get up and do the things that I need to do, I need to say, I am magical. I am special. I am intelligent. I am the world's greatest. I am. I am. I bring. I bring. I attract. I attract. Money loves me. I attract.
Money loves me.
Money loves me. Down to writing down how much you are going to earn monthly after deductions. And that being your reality. Now, I'm not saying that be your reality and go spend money you don't have, but be specific, be purposeful. And that just kind of cements, because the more I fake it, the more I make it. Now, I'm not saying fake on your CV that you've got such a qualification, but I need to remind myself, act as if when I walk into a room, that presence, physically remind myself, keep your chin up, put your shoulders back, chest out, be confident, look someone in the eye, have a stern handshake, because it is all of those small actions that will develop itself into now, hey, I'm no longer pretending to be this confident person. Hey, I'm actually this confident person. Yeah. Maybe the 50th time I've entered the room.
Yeah, yeah. So, Palesa, you are in a beautiful place in your career right now where it seems like, as we've spoken about, the things you visualized have come into being. It's what you're living out right now. And you seem like such a positive, incredible person to be around. I mean, we've had a fantastic conversation already today and I've learned so much. I want to find out, what advice do you have for someone who in their life right now, they're feeling a little bit stuck and a little bit stagnant. And they want to get into the visualization and the meditation. They want to be in that positive space. Although I do believe in seasons of life, but essentially, what advice would you have for them?
I would say take time to be by yourself. When they say silence the noise and be by yourself, physically, literally silence the noise and be by yourself. I believe that the 20s is your only time to just be you. The 20s are all I have to be Palesa. Think about it. In your teens, you're someone's child. In fact, from birth till you leave the house, you're someone's child. You're playing the role of a child. You're a student. Then you go into your 20s, where I will now would love to say and advise, be you. Figure out your likes, dislikes, change hobbies, flip-flop, change degrees if you need to change degrees. Figure it out for you. Have you time. Because in your 30s, again, I am not putting any age gap or limit. I'm just speaking generally. People get married and start having children. Then you take on the role as a mother, wife, husband, father. And then in your 40s, your business is probably now skyrocketing. So now you're full on professional. You have to make that money for these kids. And then only in your 50s and 60s again, you're now starting to find yourself again and you eat, pray, loving. Why can't we eat, pray, love in our 20s? Why can't we eat, pray, love in our own way? Define it for ourselves. Be selfish. And I mean, be selfish. And my advice, if you're feeling like you're hitting a wall and you're stuck within a rut and you're unable to break free, dial it down, turn off your phone, log out of Instagram, log out of Twitter, log out of Facebook, be you. Tune in, dial in, whether it's taking walks, do things that you know will feed yourself, listen to music, sage your house, whatever you need to do, but be selfish, do you, be you, and then that will allow yourself to give to the next.
Oh my mind moment. What an extraordinary conversation. Thank you so, so, so much, Palesa, for coming onto today's show and sharing your wisdom and your journey with us. I must admit, you have such a beautifully poised voice that I could literally just sit and listen to you speak forever. There were so many beautiful mind moments on today's episode. And the one for me where the penny really dropped was when you were saying when people are visualizing or meditating, they often forget to picture themselves there, to picture themselves with the car and the house and the money and the bay. So we'll catch you same time, same place, right here on In My 20s. In my 20s, in my 20s, how old are you? I am. We had a conversation about visualization of a nation, communication, precipitation, amalgamation. I wanna be a rap star when I grow up. Why? Cause I think that I'm fly tonight. Party in my crib, C-R-I-B. Okay, bye.